morning, Cross Point Community Church. Good morning from deep in the heart of Texas. And I first want to just say thank you to everybody for your prayers for my mom. She's making small but positive steps toward recovery. And I would definitely covet your prayers for her because she's in a lot of pain. But they need her to kind of wean off the pain medicine and start to move and walk so that other complications don't start to develop. So just ask you to continue praying. I'm hanging on to that verse. That's my life verse that, that Crosspoint knows very well. That I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart, and I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. I'm going to acknowledge Him in all my ways, and I know He's going to make our path straight. So I ask you to join me and just continuing to trust our Lord. He's so good. Things could have been much, much worse, but we're standing by faith, and I just ask you to stand with me. And I'd love to be able to pray for you this morning. I'd love to be able to be there. Even though I'm in Texas, my heart is in Rialto. So let's pray together. Let's ask the Lord to bless our service this morning. Father, I want to thank you so much for this morning, and thank you, Lord, for the hope. And thank you, Lord, for the love that we feel from that little church in Rialto. We ask you, Lord, to bless their day. We ask you, Lord God, to cover them and protect them with your mighty hand, Lord. I pray this morning for our brother Miguel Santana, who is going to be giving a sermon. And I just ask you, Lord, to fill him with your spirit and your anointing and give him the words that you would have him to speak and give to the church this morning. Father, we thank you for all the other ministries. We thank you for what you're doing. And we just ask you, Lord, to continue to bless and to help Crosspoint, Lord, reach the lost and share the good news. And we ask you these things and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye, Pastor. Let's do our announcements. We're a little backwards today, opening prayer, then announcements. But I think to hear from Pastor today, that was an incredible blessing. You can sit down.
Good morning, Cross Point family. You guys look really big from here. What you guys get from breakfast. And you feel like I'm shrinking. I feel like I'm shrinking here. But hey, if there's something that you can take from this, it's from the Lord. It's not mine. But if you see something that I did wrong, it was me. It wasn't him. Okay, so I feel good because you guys are all family. And so thanks for your prayers and thanks for your support. And also, now I feel how Pastor Robert feels when it's hard to deal with that Spanish word. Now I feel how it is in the English word. So it's going to be kind of challenged, but I feel confidence because it's the Lord who's going to be talking through this His servant. So, well, as all you know, I think you may hear this passage many, many times before. So it's not new for you, and it's not new for me either. But let's talk about what prodigal means. What is it? What that means in today's world? So it can be applied to the type of person that wastes its resources or that shows contempt for what should be appreciated, which squanders its heritage without justification, resulting in damages to the family, and it stops them from meeting their material obligations. So it's the kind of people or the kind of person who wastes what God gave it to him. It's not only waste his, but he wastes his family's possessions. So in verse 12 to 13, it says here, the younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So he was waiting for his dad to die, probably. Now, the question here is, what does a young person know about life? Right? Now, besides being young, having a lot of money in his pocket, and no experience of life, so that's dangerous, right? I know you young people think that you know everything sometimes, and the old people only knows all things, right? Do you have one of those at home? You may are one of them, right? How do we know old people that they think like that? Because we've been there too, right? We've been there too. So, and we used to think the same thing from our parents. But as you get older, you start thinking, oh, maybe he was right. We're telling you all these things not to hurt you, not to want you to do what we want. It's just to avoid you to go into trouble, to because we've been there. We already step on those steps where you're going right now. So the young son says that to his father. And I think that hurts when your son tells you something like that before you die, he wants his share from you. It hurts. It hurts your father's heart. Because you think maybe my son wants me to die right now so he can live his own life. Don't your parents feel like that? Right? So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted all his money in wild living. Here's a young man, no experience on life, bunch of money away from his land, from his family, from his father. So when a lake has no resource to fill it every time, and you suck in water from the lake, eventually the lake, as it doesn't matter how big it is going to dry it out. So it doesn't matter how much money you have. If you don't make enough money to cover what you spend in daily, at least that money is going to go away. So he find out himself with no money, strange in a country. So now, this Bible story is no different. Oh, by the way, how much time do I have? Like 2 hours or 2 hours? Okay. So it's 11:10. So have to finish what, like around 11 or 12? Huh? That's correct? Oh. So 2 hours? Okay. Okay, so, all right. So this Bible stories are different on these modern days today. I mean, is something different or is pretty much the same thing? It's just different ages, different times, different people. But it's the same thing. Same thing happening right now. So now Pastor Robert always said, if we have to live the gospel in our own life, we have to put names to these stories. Otherwise, we're just reading nice, lovely stories. But we have to make it our own. So to put this story, the path that's a parable that Jesus talked to when he was on earth. So now let's putting this story on today's life. So what I'm gonna do now, I'm gonna put them together with a true story that happens. You know, it's true story. It happened on a family. And how this story can connect into your own and personal life. So I'm going to read a little bit of this true story along with the passage on the Bible so you guys can connect it, and you can connect it with your own life too. So it was in the year of 2005, and after having a 5 weeks of vacation on a paradise port of Mexican Pacific. 5 weeks is a nice vacation, right? Who wants that right now? Who wants to be at the ocean, you know, swimming, snorkeling, all that stuff? 5 weeks. So, nice lifestyle. A young couple with 3 children. Well, I'm gonna change their names just to protect the innocent. Okay, and eventually I'll tell you their names at the end, but I want to keep it like that so to make it more interesting, kind of. So, father's name was John, the mother was Joy, and the 3 daughters, Jessica, Jane, and Jasmine, all J's, so we don't get confused. They have been blessed with a property, a house, in a city like an hour and a half where they used to live, away from their current residence. So they moved to this new property, this house, new house. After a year and a half, when real estate market, do we all know that like about 2005, the real estate was booming like, right? So this couple decide to buy a second house. They didn't ask the Lord. They just feel, oh, market is good. I'm going to buy another property, rent this one, and make money. And eventually sell one, make a bunch of money, pay off half of the other one, and you'll be good. Have you ever had some plans like that and you think, oh, this is a great plan? Perfect. Any story related with this is just coincidence, okay? But this is a true story. So if your life is being on this position or in this kind of situation, it's just coincidence. So what happened? They buy the house. And not just that, they bought a brand new SUV, brand new, 0 miles. That ultimately, they changed it for a year later for a newer one. So the new one, they changed a year later for the newest one, wasting money. Spending money more than they were making, thinking the real estate market is going to keep going up and they will be making money out of their properties. And as we all know, 2 or 3 years later, what happened with the market? Collapses, right? A lot of people, a lot of families, they killed themselves. You hear a lot of those stories, don't you? You didn't hear that? It was really devastated for a lot of families. I don't know. Maybe some of you here go through that same situation. because we can't control that. We don't have control of the market. So we can make plans based on that. Everything was lost. They lost everything. So verse 15, to keep, you know, put this into the Bible story, he said, he pursued a local farmer, verse 14, about the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. What a coincidence, right? Right at that time when he spent all his money, this started happening. Right? Is it a coincidence or is the Lord working? Because he don't care what you have. He's going to take away whatever you have, because most important for the Lord is your soul, your salvation, your eternity with him. And sometimes even your own life before you go worst. So they lost all this. They found out themselves in the middle of this situation. Really drastic. So in verse 15, after he lost all his money, this young man, he pursued to a local farmer to hire him. And the man sent him into his fields to feed the pigs. From here to way down there. To the mud. Where the pigs live? The mud. Can you see yourself feeding them and try to eat from them too? Eat from whatever they're eating? Have you guys ever been there? Now in the middle, back to the real story now. Recent story of this family. In the middle of 2007, the Lord put in their heart to leave that city. Same thing with this guy when he asked the farmer for a job. To leave that city, so they moved to like halfway between where they, you know, used to live before. But things painted very, 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 very badly in their minds. No money, no job, few little remaining stuff they have. So they moved to this new house. I mean, it wasn't there. They ran it out. But the Lord moved them to there. He was preparing their hearts and testing their faith. Same thing that this young man was doing it. He was going through. So in 2008, become a test much more strong, more than this even. An appointment was expected for a few years. It's an immigration appointment where they had to pay close to $12,000 to do a status adjustment. No money, no job, no properties. No savings, nothing. So God showed his power and care to this family. Up to this day, they have no idea how they were able to pay that amount of money. But it was painful by the Lord. I don't know that part of the story, but the Lord knows that. So verse 16, back to the Bible, says, the young man became so hungry that even the pot he had feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. How you guys ever feel? You may feel now they're hungry right now, right? Probably. Are you guys hungry? You guys get breakfast or no? No? So during 2007, around Christmas season, this family, without no money for their kids' presents, I don't know if you guys been there or not, but it's hard. Not either even a good for money for a good Christmas dinner. Kids were hungry. They were little. The kids were little. They're still drinking milk. So they were hungry. So what happened? This young couple wants to buy at least a gallon of milk. They search all over the place for little coins under the couch, under the bed, or whatever, in the cars or whatever. So they put together like $2 and something, $3 to get up to buy a gallon of milk. So the man John ran to the store to buy the gallon of milk. When he was going through the door of the grocery store, it was the Christmas season, don't forget. So you know how people buy stuff on Christmas season, right? From grocery stores to get the dinner ready and all that stuff. So when he was going in through the door, this family was coming out with a car, especially if they're Mexican, you know, the car is like this, all the way to this. A lot of stuff in there, right? And the little kid on top of the car, like, right? And he was going into the store with some coins to buy just a gallon of milk. And right in that moment, he totally understand that people rob somebody else to feed their own family. He was tempted to do it that, to feed his family. But he repented. He asked the Lord for forgiveness. He went into the store, buy the gallon of milk, get out from there, and back to his house. Back in their house, he went to his backyard and go on his knees and cried out to the Lord for help, to give him to their kids something for Christmas, or at least a good dinner. Verse 17 through 19. When he finally came to his sense, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant.'" So this family, after going through all that, they spend an average of 4 to 5 years sitting on a church, kind of like behind Barbara's seat, right there. Four or five years they were there, being comforted, taught, loved, and with the dependence and guidance of God. God was teaching them. He was working on them for those years. So in verse 20, so he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. The father was there, and he was there all the time, waiting for his son to come back home. He didn't move. He didn't go away. The son did. So if you're lost right now, God's still there. He has his heart wide open for you to come back. He's waiting for you. So where you can be fed, where you can be comforted, at his house with his own family. In February 2009, God showed his power and love again and gave them the U.S. residence of this beautiful country while they were still instructed and now obedient to him. He showed his care, his love to this family. Verse 21 to 24 says here, his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I'm no longer worthy of being called your son. So when he returned and he told that to the father don't say anything about that. He didn't say anything about the bad things that he did to his son. Never. God never tell you what you did wrong. He just embraced you and hug you and kiss you, and he forgive you. How we know he forgive us? Because all the sins that we committed, they were on Jesus' shoulder on the cross of the Calvary. So the Lord never sees that. He sees you and me through Jesus, and he never wanna mention any of the sins that you did before in the past. So if you see the story here, the father didn't say anything to the son. He just embraced him. That's how our Lord is. Verse 22, right? Look what the father did. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put on him. Get a ring on his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party begins. Right? Nice, huh? So this family here, today they enjoy a relationship of total dependence of God. Of course, ups and downs still, like everybody else. It's not easy. They're still in training, because the Lord haven't finished yet with you and with me and with them either, right? As Apostle Paul says on Philippians 3:12-14, right? If you wanna go back there pretty fast, Philippians 3:12-14 says here, don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, press on to reach the end, the race, and achieve the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. So it's not over yet. We still have a lot of work to do. So today this family is enjoying a relationship with the Lord. Their kids are, mature. And God has given them a lot more than they had before. Not only material stuff, right? But has given them a responsibility on God's business. And family has been greatly strengthened and are part of the beautiful family of the Lord. And that family, where they belong, is you guys, Cross Point Rialto. And the family that I'm referring this story is the family and Miguel and Erica Santana. Me and my family. We've been through all this. So, but God put us in this little church that you think is little, but is big on before God's eyes. Why? Because all that we do here is reading His Word, the Bible, and nothing else. So, dear brothers, it's not easy to obey God, right? It's not easy. I never thought I would be here in front of you guys talking. Never, never. If you asked me like 5 years ago. So like the song that my brothers were singing, I was lost and now I'm found. I was blind, now I can see. How we apply, or what we'll learn from this. Question here is, in what point of this story is your personal life at this very moment? My dear brother and sister, where you are right now? Did you take the blessings and walk away from the blesser? Or you find yourself right now trying to eat from the pig's foot? I don't know where you are, but it doesn't matter. God is waiting for you to come back, as how He did with this family. So your positions, career, economic, are those things are your strength, or is the Lord? Are you feeling farther every day from the one who gave you life and what you have now? Or you feel closer to Him? I don't know where you are. But let me tell you something. This is the only battle that is so convenient for you to miss. You know why? Because you're never going to win this one. You know why? Because if He chooses you already to be part of His family, He's going to do whatever He needs to do to get you back into the fold. And to be honest, I don't want to be in your shoes. I don't want to be in your shoes when this happens if you're far away from the Lord. Because I've been there already. And it's not easy. It's not fun. It's not nice to be there at all. If it wasn't for Him, I don't know, me and my family, where we'd be right now. I don't know. So if you don't believe me, as my pastor said, he said, it's Job. Ask Job in the Old Testament, and he will tell you how it is. Do you still have time? Yeah? So, you may are young, maybe are young, maybe are an adult, maybe are feel like you're old already. Or you maybe think you know everything about life. Or you have a good health. Really bright future in your life. But if you're walking away from the Lord, He can take you all that like this. Friday night, this week, last week. See, I'm telling you, I don't know. It's only the Lord who's doing all this. We went to the hospital to see my brother-in-law's dad. He was sick. We were there. All the family was there. All their family was there. So we didn't know what's going to happen. We just feel that we had, you know, the need to go there and comfort the family. So when you have somebody in your family in that situation, they give you a little room where the family can stay, right? I didn't go into there. I stayed all the time in the room where he was. I never seen a person passing away in my life, right in front of my eyes. But for some reason, the Lord put us there because it was a chaos in the family. Everybody kind of collapsed, and they were crazy. Thank God, my wife and her sister and myself, we were there to put everything in control and pray for them and pray for their family, put them all together and pray right there. So don't take for granted what you have is going to be forever. Or God can change your life just like in a blinking of an eye, like how he did with this young man and with this family too. But the good news are that he, if you came back to him, it's not going to be easy, but he's going to reward you. Maybe not in here how you're expecting to have nice things here, but up there in heaven. So this is what the Lord put on my heart to share with you. And I hope it touched your heart, or I hope it helps you too if you're going through a difficult situation. So God bless you all. And thanks for being part of our life. So, I don't know what you guys want to do next, but I'm done. I'm finished. That's all you guys want to tell you. And thanks God that I go through all this. But thank you very much for...